Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
Yeah, ESPN 975-7378-0376. John and Del, along with Tyler, here with you. If you want to get in, you're more than welcome. Reading, Mike Florio's not getting off of this. And I don't know. Mike Florio doesn't have any information. I guess he's assuming that they were trying to settle and there's some kind of a logjam. I'm not sure that there's ever been any settlement talks. I don't know. Rusty would have. I would imagine he'd approach. Or, you know, maybe they're still going by the same thing that they said originally. We're not paying these women. Rusty thinks that they're all lying. He thinks that he can poke holes in all of their stories. And that if it did come to a trial, that he would prevail. Maybe that's the case. We all assumed that they were trying, that with all this quietness now, that they were settling, that there was going to come a settlement. And Tony Busby says, that is not happening. And
Florio wrote in his piece on Tony Busby's statement that the women meeting with the NFL potentially undermines any settlement talks, because if you're trying to get a settlement done from the Sean side, you'd also want some confidentiality where you're not putting out information or you go silent. So if they're actually talking and maybe in the progress of more women talking, it hurts that potential to get a settlement done.
Yeah. Well, I mean, unless you already have a non-disclosure agreement, these women are going to talk. And listen, the league is probably putting pressure on that, and like you said, they've already talked to four. They'd like to talk to four more. Tony Busby, with the way that the league is handling it, Tony Busby says, I'm not sure that's going to happen. He even had to step in for the fourth interview with the league, with Lisa Friel and the league, because he didn't like the way that it was going, the way that she was handling it. So there's a possibility that they just say, screw you, league. But unless there's a non-disclosure agreement, the league is going to more than likely push hard for these women to give their side of the story so that they can actually find out whether or not, you know, in their opinion, Deshaun did anything wrong. Here's what Florio finishes up with on Pro Football Talk. Bottom line, the settlement talks, which most likely were happening, we don't know. He figures most likely were happening. He's a lawyer, so I guess he always figures that they're going to try to settle, which most likely were happening, have reached an impasse. I think we're all assuming that there were talks going on. We don't know. Busby's comments seem to be aimed at trying to break the logjam, and if not, to force the league to take the situation more seriously in his client's perspective, it previously has.
All assumption. We don't know that there were any settlement talks. We don't know that the two sides have even, you know, exchanged any kind of numbers, or because, hey, Rusty was pretty adamant that the women were all lying, that he can poke holes in all of it, that every single one of them was lying. So if I'm them, and maybe, you know, Deshaun is from the get-go, he said, I'm not going to be extorted. I did nothing wrong, and I would like to prove myself. I would like to prove to everybody that and this is the case of a lawyer who's trying to gain a lot of publicity in Deshaun's first statement. I didn't do anything wrong, and I am not paying. So maybe that's the case.
And we were talking about the timeline earlier in the week. Deshaun's first statement came after at least two women approached him about something, Ashley Solis, and then the other one who his media or marketing manager, Brian Burney, talked to. So he knew of at least two at the time, because we were talking about how he went to get another massage in March after being approached by those two women. He also made his statement on Twitter when this became public after knowing that two women had made claims and were trying to get something done settlement wise. So if that is the approach by the Watson camp and his attorney, then you would say why would they settle now? Unless there's so many women, they just think, look, it would just be easier to do this. But this has all been speculation, partly because of the silence. And from all the evidence we have is neither one of them is approaching it for a settlement.
No. I mean, it appears that Tony Busby side, I mean, he clearly stated settlement is not happening. This stretches out longer now. Maybe this is the best thing for the Texans because Deshaun, if he's on the exempt list, you know, they've got to pay him, but they don't have to worry about trading him. They can just sit, let maybe this entire season, Deshaun is going to have to sit. This all gets behind him. They can possibly then, it'll all be worked out by the start before next draft, before next NFL draft. They can trade Deshaun. Everybody knows what his suspension is going to be. Everybody knows. Maybe it'll be time served for a year on the exempt list. Whatever the case may be, maybe this not being all adjudicated quickly is going to be a good thing. Now, he says 8 to 10 have talked to the cops already. 8 to 10 of them have talked to the police. 4 have talked to the league. The police thing seems to be a bit more troubling because if they do find... Now, if the legal process does get involved, I think we all just assumed
that this wouldn't come to criminal. Because at first there appeared to be some dancing around where there would be some talk. We heard that Tony Busby was talking to the police, and then the HPD would put out a statement saying, "At this time, we have had no contact." But if he is telling the truth that there's 8 to 10 women, I don't know why he doesn't know the exact number, but women who have talked to the police, then that means maybe the police believe there at least is something to look into as opposed to just dismissing it and saying there's not enough evidence to proceed. And it would kind of fly in the face of all of the dumb sports talk guys, just assuming this will be more of an NFL issue that determines when he plays as opposed to maybe he will have to have a day in court. And that might determine when he's eligible to play football, if at all.
Yeah. Well, a criminal investigation drags on. No settlement is reached. Like we said, it took how long for Antonio Brown? And that was a settlement. They never even got to a trial, right? And this was a year and a half for Antonio Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. This might drag on even longer. Well, with 22 of them. Wow. Man, I wonder, dude, I thought, you know, we all... Hey, this is going to be all done by training camp.
We had that
training camp. Holy crap!
Pro Football Talk had an article about the odds about him being back for 2021, and we thought it was kind of early to have that discussion. And it appears we were right on that because it doesn't look like there's any movement towards getting this out of the way as far as Deshaun's side. It looks like at least the Tony Busby camp is entrenched, saying, "Nah. We're taking it to the hilt, and we're going to see how this goes."
Wow! So that's a bombshell this morning. For all the people thought, well, this is possibly just going away, and you know, I think all of us just assumed, well, it's all quiet on the Western Front, so everything's smooth. They're getting along, and they're working out all the settlements. Nah, nothing. Cops now 8 to 10 of the alleged victims have talked to the police, not just a couple like we originally thought. 4 have already talked to the league, and maybe 4 more. We'll see.
And 8 to 10 puts it into the realm of that whole it's just a money grab thing for people. Maybe that's there should be some silence on that from now going forward.
Busby also put the league on blast.
He did.
He put the league on blast. Saying you're not handling this well.
Well,
and this is and here, listen, this is Lisa Friel. This is a female who apparently is not having any compassion for the victims, according to Tony Busby.
Well, the league has been criticized for their action or an inaction in the past. We know the Ray Rice thing didn't become a thing really for them.
But that's why they put a woman in charge.
And apparently, at least in Tony Busby's estimate.
Right.
It hasn't been enough. The change in attitude apparently still hasn't occurred.
Yeah, apparently. So, yeah, if it was a man that was doing, and you'd be like, oh, old boy network still at work at the NFL. But this is a woman that they put in charge, and still he has issues with the way that the league has handled it. We don't know why, but issues anyway. 812 ESPN 975 713-780-3776 if you'd like to get in here. I did what I had to do. I ran in that bitch and I didn't have a mask. I did what I should have did. Survived through the trenches and live like a man.
Going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, 8:15, ESPN 97.5. You got some thoughts, you're more than welcome to get in here. Rockets lose by 2 last night against the Lakers. That was the play of the game was Kyle Kuzma walking through the lane. That was the ultimate Euro step the dude did. I mean, it looked like it was about... I mean, we how much did we benefit from James's Euro step over
quite
the years?
Bit.
Quite a bit.
And there,
and then when it's used against you in a court of law, it's no fun.
Yeah, I mean, the Rockets Twitter has been combating, oh, that's a travel for years. No, that's a gather and stuff back and forth. And
right.
It's whatever. The NFL, the NBA and their traveling rule can be be adjudicated all night long, if you so choose.
The Astros win again, win another series. What is that, 4 out of the last 5? The only series they lost recently was against the Yankees.
5 out of 6.
5 out of 6?
Yeah.
5 out of 6 series now, and they're starting to get on a roll. It looks like a good baseball team. They had that one little hiccup over a while. They also had COVID, but they didn't pitch well during that stretch either. The bullpen was terrible during that stretch. They looked really bad. They also looked really great at the beginning of the season, so they're somewhere in between. They're about what they are now, winning series against lesser teams. When they played the Yankees, they had a tough time, but they came up with that big win against Cole. I still believe that was the biggest win of the season. That was just awesome. Cole didn't get the loss, but they beat Cole, and they beat a Cole start. So that was just awesome. This looks like a really good baseball team. Carlos Correa came out of it last night with 3 hits, hit the ball hard. He hadn't been hitting the ball hard. He looked really bad in his 2-for-32, but he hit the ball hard last night. He looked like he was on it. He went to center field, I believe all 3, to left center, right center. So he was on it last night, which is a nice sign for him to come out of it. You know, I don't want Carlos to do poorly, although Carlos doing poorly is good for the baseball team, if you want to know the truth. So, well, you might get him for less.
If you believe he would re-sign here,
he might resign here.
Understood. But you have to believe that him having a substandard year would be enough to convince him that the Astros deal is market value. And you just have to hope another team doesn't come in and say, you know what, you had an off year, but we're still going to overpay to get you.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, there's still the health. There's a long, long way to go. Carlos might hit 300 this year. We don't know. But... And he might stay healthy this year. All of those things just might happen. And then he's going to be, the Astros apparently will be out of the market for him. But I'm still not giving Carlos 7 or 8 years. You just can't trust it. Yeah, to me, you just can't trust Carlos being able to last those 7 years healthy. So good for him. That was nice. Yordan is a masher. Kyle Tucker is looking much better. I mean, he was hitting the ball hard. But dude is on it right now with a couple upper deck blasts over the last 3 games. That looked great. Urquidy looked great. Urquidy looked awesome. And then he had the shoulder discomfort. It's like, wow. Yeah, we just don't need this. And you got Fromber, Odorizzi. Now,
yeah.
Now you got Urquidy with problems.
And shoulder discomfort, when you hear it, it's like, okay, it's a small thing. But you looking at his reaction, and the guys are just kind of comforting him, patting him on the back. I was watching the game at the time, and I turned my head, and then I see in there everybody's at the mound looking at Urquidy. I'm like, okay. I'm listening to the guys talk about it, and I hear the prognosis a little bit later, shoulder discomfort. But then I was looking at some clips today, and you watch, like, I think Correa put his hand on his back, and Altuve was patting him on the back, and he looked down. I don't think he was crying, but he's kind of wiping at his eyes. It made it seem like it was much more serious than at least a prognosis of shoulder discomfort.
Yeah. Hopefully nothing's torn in there. Obviously, he'll get his MRI today, and we'll find out. But you lose Urquidy for any amount of time, and that's a bad thing. I really think that dude he's going to be a stalwart in this rotation. Hopefully it's nothing serious. Thank God it's not an elbow. I mean, as soon as you talk about elbow, it's over. So shoulder, maybe he'll be able to work it out. We'll see. But that was the only bad news last night. Otherwise, the team looked really good. Altuve starts it off with the bomb off the foul pole, and it was just all the runs. McCormick with the 3-run homer. Jordan with his homer. Tucker with his homer. Everything was, I mean, it's just homer or drought. That's it. But that's fine as long as it's the good guys that are hitting all those. And then the Texans schedule out as well yesterday. If you want to talk about that, 713-780-3776. Kirby wants to get in here and talk about his Texans. What do you say, Kirby?
Good morning.
Oh.
Hey.
Oh.
Don't forget, if you hit the foul ball pole, everybody at the game, you get a Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich.
Thanks, Milo. What did you want to talk about, Milo?
Are you really? It seems to me you're just a little too positive on the Texans.
Oh,
can you just maybe calm it down just a little bit?
Maybe. Oh, man, some people maybe think I'm a little pessimistic with a loss. Okay. So that's a point of view.
Well, I mean, you're a realist with the Astros, but when it comes to the Texans, are you just so fed up and sick of the garbage, you're just going to put your battle red glasses on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sick of everybody with their negativity about this football team. Maybe this. You don't know that this isn't going to be the best football team maybe in NFL history. You don't know. Have they played this? That's why they play the games, Kirby.
That's right. You could be. Yeah, that's right.
And then when
Then I'm going to be positive.
When they are great,
be positive, John.
Yeah. When they are great, then you're going to say, "Oh, John, maybe you were right about him." Okay.
Are you happy with all the new? You sound pretty happy about all the noon games too.
Yeah. No. That's where the NFL wants to. You know, highlight their special teams.
Right in that noon slot.
Right in that noon slot. That's right.
Speaking of slots, I wanted to bring up some golf just for a minute.
Okay.
I was watching a tournament the other, I don't know if it was last week, but I love it when the commentators, they look at it and they say, man, this is a tough hole. I mean, this hole, what's your favorite hole? Well, that's my favorite hole. It's a tough hole, but it's my favorite hole.
I don't know where you're going.
What's
with
y'all's
this?
Favorite hole?
Well,
hang up on Kirby.
I think he makes a good point.
Right. Well, there's a difference between tough hole and favorite hole, and I mean it's all different. That's differing opinions there. Okay. So I don't know what you're talking about, Kirby. I don't know where you're going on this
and,
one.
And let's stay in that line of thinking.
He mentioned.
He said slots.
Slots.
Yeah. Let's stay in that lane because Wingstop got a little freaky last night. Did you see it?
No.
Wingstop's Twitter account was on one. The person who was running it forgot that they were doing it publicly. Mm-hmm. Like these weren't DMs. This is how it starts. I don't know if the picture is real, but it looks like a fairly attractive woman, at least by the profile picture. Goes wings. She says Wingstop Ranch gotta have stuff in it. No way it's just that good. Wingstop responds with, "It's a special white sauce, but it does not contain but it does not contain onions, and it laughs. And she goes, Wingstop, you got to chill for real. Wingstop, you brought it up. Are we flirting right now? Wingstop goes, are we? And then she goes, you close to Texas? Wingstop responds, headquarters in Dallas. So, yeah, I'm 3 hours away. Be there soon. Breaded or naked? Wingstop responds, was breaded is great because of boneless wings, but bone in sounds like a lot better option. So the latter? And she goes, God, I need you in me. And Wingstop responds, all you have to do is open your mouth.
Oh my goodness.
So does this Wingstop employee keep their job?
Absolutely.
After this.
Absolutely.
I'm like, look, we know Wendy's is an all-time great with their Twitter handle because they will roast any competitor. But ain't nothing like Wingstop. Wingstop is flat out dirty macking right now.
Wingstop is yeah. I don't know what. There's probably going to be some disciplining.
It's got to be right
when you're talking about
all the innuendo. Bone in sounds like a better option.
Open your mouth.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious, Wingstop. That's a little aggressive.
Wow.
Last night. But you know what? Wingstop's probably like, man, we got to do something. Get some attention over here.
Lemon pepper wings ain't enough anymore?
No, but Buffalo Wild Wings is just kicking our ass week in and week out. We got to do something. Let's go a little racy. Let's go. What the hell do we have to lose? 826 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776 if you want to hang with us here. Texan schedule out. We can talk about that. We got other stuff, schedule stuff to talk about. So don't you go anywhere.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
How long you were out and how little experience you have coming back from lengthy layoffs, are you surprised at how quickly it kind of came back to you when you were back in the flow of things?
Not really. Not to like... brag or anything, but I'm like, I'm really good at this game. You know, I study the game. I'm very unselfish. I take the game and I play it the right way every single night. So I don't try to do anything that I can't do or anything that doesn't benefit our team. And if that mindset right there keeps me in a really good place.
James Harden last night. Very modest. Listen, I'm good at this game. I'm unselfish. I'm modest. I'm great looking. I've got wonderful hair. My beard is spectacular.
Not to brag, but I have lots of money.
Yeah. Do you know how rich I am?
Yeah.
Right. I'm humble.
I've been with a Kardashian.
Yeah. Have you been with a Kardashian?
Well, no. Chris Humphries has been with a Kardashian. Well, I'm not sure I'm going to brag.
Yeah.
Well, are you, Chris? Did you ever... make millions of dollars in the NBA? No.
No.
Are you 7 feet tall?
But
no.
Don't we blame his relationship for that down year he had when he came in out of shape and they went like 41-41?
Right. Here's what James could say. I overcame a Kardashian.
Okay.
How many people haven't? A lot. Okay. So I'm humble. I'm awesome. I'm great looking. I was fat. Now I'm skinny. I was fapped up for a week, and then I'm skinny again. I mean, can other people lose like 30 pounds in 2 days? No. I can. So, that's me. Awesome. Mr. Awesome.
Do you have access to a fat suit like me when I need to, get can you things buy go
one?
My way?
You probably can't even buy one. You're one of the poors.
Yeah.
Right? Why am I even talking to you?
Hey, that's a dumb question. Not only can't you buy a fat suit... but you also are probably, dealing with that poverty vaccine as well. You know, yeah.
Moderna.
Yeah.
Yeah. You probably got Moderna. That's how poor you are.
You're one of the poorest. Stop asking me questions.
Yeah. Okay.
So James
Harden, your Fitbit watch.
So James Harden. So James Harden was back last night. The Nets get a win. But as James Harden returns, Kyrie Irving does not play. So that that number is still at 7 for all three of them to play together.
Together.
Yeah.
In 7 games all year.
Yeah. They beat the Spurs last night. The Spurs still comfortably ahead, 2 games up for the final play-in spot. So we'll see how it goes for them. But the Nets get a win, probably going to be the 2 seed, and may face the Celtics in all likelihood in that in their first, if the Celtics get through the play-in tournament.
Tom Brady last night, after it was announced that the Cowboys are going to be playing the Buccaneers in that Thursday night game to start the season. And he tweeted out 9-9, that's the date, 9-9, can't come soon enough. Excited to open against quote unquote America's team, with a woman laughing. And then underneath it had the logos and Tom Brady screaming. Do you want to take those shots if you're Tom Brady?
He doesn't care. The dude is throwing the Super Bowl trophy from one boat to the other. He doesn't care.
He doesn't care anymore. He's got 7 Super Bowls. Yeah. He did say something interesting this week that he's a little bit worried about his football afterlife.
What's he going to do afterwards?
What's he going to do? He said, I don't know. You know what? I mean, when you've been, you know, as great as he has for so long, it probably is something that's wearing on. I mean, a lot of guys can't handle it. Now, he's got the family. He's got all the money. He's got all the titles. He's going to be, you know, Hall of Fame, thought as the greatest quarterback to ever live, made a greatest football player that ever lived. But at his age, to still be getting up the way he does and working as hard as he does and striving to be as great as he does, it is really amazing that he hasn't lost any, appears that he hasn't lost any desire.
When he's done, he won't be lacking for opportunities. Maybe he just won't find something that's fulfilling. But I'm not particularly worried about Tom Brady's ability to do something afterwards. It may be just he can't find anything he loves, but he's going to have opportunity after opportunity.
Yeah.
I don't know if he wants to be a play-by-play guy or a studio guy, or just simply be, maybe he wants nothing to do with football as far as if he's not playing it, but Tom Brady will be flush with chances to do stuff.
Yeah. I'm not worried about Tom Brady.
No.
Tom Brady's life is going to be okay. I'm pretty sure. But it is kind of deflating, and it is difficult after you leave the game, sure. Especially as much as dude has put into it. So.
And it seems like I'm not asking a lot of these players in the different sports, but it seems like football players appear to have the bigger issue. You see NBA players maybe they're learning. Jordan was the first to be more than just a basketball player. I mean, others have tried, but he was the one that everyone kind of models themselves. You want to be a businessman as just opposed to a basketball player. All these guys have their hands and things. Like Dwayne Wade's now a part owner of the Jazz. And then we know LeBron's got the production crew. Now you have to reach a certain level to do those things, and Brady's at that level. I mean, he's got his TB12 stuff, but I wonder if it's a different mindset for an NFL player. Maybe it'll change as younger guys continue to watch guys like LeBron and others do it. Become more than just start that process before you're done playing.
Right. No, we see Jeter. We see D. Wade. We see Jordan. We see A-Rod trying now. I could certainly see him getting into. We see John Elway going into becoming a general manager.
John Lynch.
I certainly see.
But that's even just staying in the game. You'll watch some guys who will start to develop their after playing career really early. And so when it's over, they have a business either going or about to start, and they can walk right in. And then you mention the guys who have decided, I'm going to find a place in the sport that I played as well. There are multiple ways to do it. You're not going to get me to feel bad for Tom Brady is what I'm going to say.
No. So Brady and the Bucks go to New England week 4. Obviously standing over for him, right? I mean,
they're not Philly fans. They're going to applaud him.
They're not going to throw batteries at him?
No, I don't believe that'll be the case.
Does he go in there and win that game?
Well, we imagine they'll be better.
They'll be a favorite.
Yeah. He should.
Yeah.
You think he's not ever going. He probably won't say it out loud, but I think that game will be maybe even bigger than not a Super Bowl, but it'll be like a playoff game.
Yeah, for him.
It'll be like a playoff game
for him. and Gronk.
Yeah.
Going in there. And for Bill Belichick, it'll be a big game, too. He doesn't want Brady coming in there and beating him.
No.
Belichick's got something to prove this year. That it wasn't just Tom Brady that won all those championships in New England. He's got something to prove because at this point, it looks like it was Brady and not Belichick. Yeah, that was the most important piece.
You said that's week four for them?
Right.
They open up with the Dolphins. Now, the book has them as a slight favorite. We know the Dolphins had the better season. We'll see how it goes. But if they're struggling going into that game, you know the noise that'll be surrounding that team if they're struggling to be competitive, even with the guys that get back from COVID. Their quarterback play will determine some of that, whether it be Cam or Mac Jones. And Brady is waltzing in there, maybe 3-0 or something. I mean,
yeah, the heat is on.
Yeah,
no question, the heat will be on. And the legacy for Bill Belichick, if Brady wins it again with the Buccaneers, a team that couldn't even make the playoffs before he got there, and he wins it again, then it's going to be a no-brainer. This was all about Tom Brady, not about Bill Belichick. So that'll be an awfully important game. The league is probably sweating this one out. They gave the Packers 5 primetime games. So what did the Packers do in response? They signed Blake Bortles.
Well, they did not have another quarterback. They wouldn't have another quarterback available to them because, we know the Aaron Rodgers deal. But I don't think they had another quarterback signed. So they had to sign someone.
Well, they had Jordan Love.
No, but that's only one. You need guys to throw footballs and practice.
Well, yeah.
So they need to sign someone.
In practice.
I don't think they had another quarterback on the roster. So that was part of it, I believe.
Usually it's not a guy who started in the NFL. That third guy is usually a Ryan Finley-ish guy.
Well, he started. Well, Blake Bortles is more of an established starter, certainly. But what is Blake Bortles now? He's a backup.
No, right.
Yeah.
Right.
And you needed a guy.
Is he insurance policy?
Well, yeah. Why wouldn't he be? He's not. They're going to want to play Jordan Love, certainly, but if Aaron Rodgers isn't around. But you just can't be held. You just can't operate like and assume that Aaron Rodgers will be there.
Wow. What if it turns out Love isn't any good? You have to get rid of Rodgers. He doesn't show up. They trade him, and Blake Bortles is starting. Wow, Packers.
Gutekunst won't be long, will he?
No. No, because this is, quite frankly, if you want to know the truth, if I would imagine most Packer fans are saying, oh, it's either Gutekunst or Aaron Rodgers. See you, Gutekunst. Beat it. We don't need – beat it. Because what you've done – I mean, alienating him, I guess I understand the Jordan Love pick. I guess I do.
Would you have at least told Aaron Rodgers you're going to do it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, there's the old school – you know what? We're management. You're player. You play. We manage. Mm-hmm. We get the players. I mean, and that was a – and it alienated Michael and Jerry Krause, obviously, because he didn't do a lot of the stuff. Yet he put together an unbelievable, one of the great championship runs, and because he did what he thought was right. Not getting Aaron Rodgers' weapons, not trying to alienate or antagonize Aaron Rodgers, was probably a big mistake by Gutekunst.
Yeah, the thought process, and we're hearing mostly from the Aaron Rodgers side, the thought process seems flawed. Look, you don't have to bend the knee to Aaron Rodgers, but it seems like a simple conversation. Hey, Aaron, we might draft the quarterback in the first round. It's something we're looking into. Just so you know, obviously we want you here, and at that time you even approach him about, hey, we certainly want you here. We're talking about an extension, but we like to upgrade our backup position at a minimum. And, Jordan Love being on the team doesn't guarantee Jordan Love ever plays for you. I mean, you can always trade a young quarterback, but it seems like an easy conversation to have. And maybe Aaron is still offended by it, but maybe he doesn't use the next draft to embarrass you, because that's what it seems like. He goes, you embarrassed me? You made me a topic of conversation last year. I'm going to make you guys one this year, because it didn't feel good. The speculation about you guys drafting the quarterback. Now I'm going to say I want out on the same day you have to make another pick. Aaron, we heard from, I forgot which player said it. They said Aaron Rodgers is petty, and you piss him off, so he's going to be, and this was a petty move, and it just seems easily avoidable.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I think the Bucs told Tom Brady, it wasn't even a first-round pick, hey, we're looking into draft on a quarterback in this draft, just so you know. And they just let their star player know, we will probably be drafting a quarterback, just so you're aware. Don't be surprised by it. And apparently, Tom Brady was fine with it.
Yeah. 841 ESPN 97.5. All right, so before we start this, let's on the other side. This Tim Tebow thing is got a life of its own. It is really unbelievable to me. The most commented story on Pro Football Talk is Tim Tebow. Why? We'll talk about it on the other side.
I've been in the hills, superstars feeling like a pop star.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, 845 on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. I just don't understand this whole Tebow thing. I just don't. He's a camp body. He's possibly a third or fourth tight end. He's taking up a roster spot, and the players are not going to respect it. Yeah, you know what? You don't want to be on the Jags. You don't want to play professional football in Jacksonville. Guess what? Don't. There are guys who are signed all the time, on every team that aren't going to make the team, or are just a camp body, or are signed for I don't know. I don't know. He played Division III football. We're going to give him a shot. Whatever. Is it a publicity stunt somewhat? Maybe. Or Urban Meyer likes Tim Tebow. That Urban Meyer has an affection for Tim Tebow is, I mean, it's not ridiculous. I mean, it's ridiculous to think that he wouldn't. Dude won a Heisman, won him a national championship. He can't love the guy more, the way he was in the locker room, a leader. All of the things that Tim Tebow did for the University of Florida. And so he's going to give him a shot at 33 years old. Why does anybody care? And why, if you're in that locker room, would you care?
I think you would if you think it's a joke that he's on the roster. Because, look, to your point, I think it's 90 men on the roster currently. And obviously that stuff will be cut down. But if you're in that locker room, you're like, do we need a effing sideshow here? I could see players going, why is he here? He's not a tight end.
Name one player in that locker room that had a better college football career than Tim Tebow.
Who cares? That's how many years ago now?
Who cares how many years ago it was? What's the difference? What is the difference to those guys?
No, the difference is
if I'm a tight
he's not
end,
an NFL player.
If I'm a tight end, I'm thrilled that Tim Tebow's there.
Why?
You know why? Because that's not real competition for me. I'm going to beat his ass.
Well, it's not about
if they signed another guy that could possibly beat me out, then I'd be like,
It's look, I don't have much emotion. I don't care so much about it anyway. But what he did in college has clearly had no bearing on what he was an NFL player. So when he was actually an active player, so why would it matter now as far as his career? His career in college doesn't mean anything to his prospects helping an NFL
team.
They
give guys shots at playing. Now, Tim Tebow was a pro. I mean, obviously, he's changing positions. But he did try to play some H-back in New York with the Jets. And, you know, they give guys shots all the time that have not made it in the NFL.
It's not about whether he can make it or not. It is more about he is not a tight end. It would lend more credence to giving him a shot if they tried him out at quarterback.
Not me. Not to me. There's zero chance of that.
What's the chance of the 33-year-old tight end being actually capable?
Because you can play at 33 a bigger guy than Tebow is, and he's already shown that he... You know, and with the Jets, he tried to play. He had one ball that hit him in the head. That was the extent of his action as an H-back.
I'll tell you this right now, the lack of respect that players have for him. Rob Ninkovich said, I haven't played in years, and I would shut down Tim Tebow. Rob Ninkovich was a starter on a Super Bowl team, so certainly he has some pelts on the wall. This is what players think. That's a retired guy. I could come out right now and he wouldn't do anything against me. No. People don't respect him in this position. That's why people are up in arms about it.
Which is even better for all of the guys all the guys on that team. Guess who?
Well,
ain't
the tight ends on the
spot.
Team. Yeah. Not all the guys. I can see some guys who are not tight ends who are not wouldn't be threatened by Tim Tebow one way or the other. Saying I don't want this joke of a guy on the team.
Why? He's not a joke of a guy.
Joke
first
of
all, he's one of the greatest college football players ever.
It doesn't matter in the NFL. We all know. We find out in this draft, great college football players don't translate. We already know he didn't translate.
And guys get shots all
but
the time.
But the,
all the
we
time
all,
that aren't going to make the league.
But that's
team.
Not. But he's not. Guys get shots because some coach thinks there's a chance because he played the position. Everyone knows what this is. You know, I would say some guys look at it the same way they looked at the Sarah Fuller thing, the girl, the soccer player who went on the kick at Vanderbilt. They think of it as
that's
nothing
a
more
little disrespectful.
To who? To which
no,
one?
No, no, no.
To
no.
Which one?
You're a little out of order yourself.
To who?
You're a little out of order
to
yourself.
Who?
A little disrespectful right there.
Who am I disrespecting?
You're calling to Tim Tebow.
He doesn't play tight end.
The greatest.
It doesn't matter.
One of the greatest college football players ever.
What does that matter?
You're comparing him to a girl kicker.
Desmond, well, at least she kicks. He doesn't play tight end.
He could.
Who says?
Who would you rather have? Sarah Fuller kicking
as a kicker?
Or Tim Tebow?
Sarah Fuller, because I saw her make an extra point. I haven't seen Tim Tebow catch a pass or get open.
This is one of the great athletes of our time.
Not anymore. He's not.
Well, listen, by the same token, they didn't think he could possibly do anything. And you know what? He wasn't a bad,
he was a
good double-A player, but he wasn't a horrible double-A player. He actually hit a home run or two. I don't know. I'm sure I saw some highlights of him, but it wasn't a joke. Tim Tebow is, why do people care so much?
I don't know why fans care, but I said it earlier in the week. If I'm a Jags fan, cut the crap. Are we a football team or a sideshow? This is what this is. It's not about helping the team.
Urban Meyer, maybe it is.
Not according to his staff.
Some guys, yeah. There's
So even coaches on his team think it's stupid.
Yeah. And guess who the ultimate czar is.
The boss has already made some bad decisions, so this one probably will fall in line of that as well. We all know what this is. We can pretend that, yeah, he was a great college player and a great athlete. He's, what, 33 anymore? Now he hasn't played football in years. It's Urban Meyer bringing on a guy he likes. And saying, hey, Tim, come in here. But it's a joke. And that's what people see it as. And that's why there's some attention on it and why people don't like it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't care. I'm glad because I want Urban Meyer to fail. So more bad decisions on his part is great for me.
All right.
And look, Aaron, you want to know why people care? We just brought it up and three people want to talk about
Tim. Okay, let him come in. Let's get Q in here. What's up, Q?
Man, this is a better form of nepotism, man. This is wrong with the NFL. First, Urban Meyer brings in a strength coach that he's, quote-unquote, known for years, even though he has a troubled past. And now he's bringing in Tim Tebow. Those are two slots that you can give to up-and-coming people. And if you really want to tie in, look at the current free agent tight ends that are available, people that are proven, Jesse James, Tyler Eifert, even though he's a little old. But you got people who've actually played tight end who are looking for jobs, and you're denying them those spots just because you're familiar or you have a personal relationship with somebody. That's exactly what's wrong with the NFL right now. People who deserve shots aren't getting them because the people who are in control are giving those shots to people that they're familiar with. That don't make no sense. That's what I think the problem is.
Yeah, I don't know. There's 90 guys on every roster and only 53. I mean, I don't know the guys aren't getting shots.
Well, to his point.
I mean, really?
There's not a tight end better than Tim Tebow out there who could play?
Well, look at their tight ends.
I'm
Chris Manhurst,
free agents.
James O'Shaughnessy.
Exactly.
And Luke Farrell.
You keep naming guys that no one
you
really
know
knows about.
Actually, Tebow might make this team. He might be better than those
the
guys.
The point is, why wouldn't you go get an actual established tight end who can play as opposed to Tim Tebow, since you just laid down a depth chart that isn't really good?
If they're so good, the guys that are – listen, this is the time of the year where everybody is taken up. Maybe Jesse James ain't all that good. Maybe Tyler Eifert is done, okay? Maybe that's the case. Maybe Tim Tebow is throwing him a bone. There's a lot of guys that get thrown a bone that have no business being on an NFL roster at training camp.
They're getting thrown a bone because a coach sees something they want to take. So what does Urban Meyer see in Tim Tebow to think he can be a tight end?
One of the greatest people he's ever met.
Yeah, great.
No, honestly, one of the greatest people he's ever met.
Then he doesn't care about the greatest people he's ever met. He hired the Iowa strength coach. What does he care about the greatest people he's ever met? He doesn't care about great people.
Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't. Did you see the Florida roster? When did he care about great people?
Great people.
Yeah, okay.
Well, guess what? Tebow kept all of those criminals in line during that time. Honestly, David wants to talk about Tebow. What do you say, David?
Hey, good morning, guys. Tim Tebow is the kind of young man that if you want to take Dell's job, he'd do it. He's better at everything he does. He's good at everything he does. He's just got that special it factor.
He wasn't good as an NFL quarterback.
And that he's a Christian. The fact that he kneels to pray, that's what freaks people out.
Was he a good NFL quarterback, David? Since he's good at everything he does,
but he beat Pittsburgh. He beat Pittsburgh in a playoff.
Listen,
how many people have done that?
Listen, he started.
Baker Mayfield beat Pittsburgh. What does that mean?
He started as an NFL. He played quarterback in the NFL, which puts him in the top 1%.
He said he's good. He wasn't good as an NFL quarterback.
Everybody would be great about it.
He wasn't good as an NFL quarterback.
He's one of the greatest.
Give him a chance.
He's one of
the dude is white because
he's white.
Everybody's freaking out. But if it was Kilpatrick, oh, my God. Oh, somebody's given him a chance, even though he's been away from football forever. It is purely because he's white.
No, it isn't.
Well, I don't know if it's because he's white.
It's not because he's white.
Well, listen. This is so unbelievable to me.
You ask why people care. People do care.
Why does anybody care about this? This is so unbelievable. And it's like polarized. This dude is polarizing.
Yeah. He's one of the most polarizing.
No, one of the things is because of his Christianity. One of the things is because I don't know. I don't know why he pisses people or people love him as much as they do. Why does he piss people off the way he does?
I don't know.
I don't get it.
I don't know. I mean, from a college level, you get it. He's a good player on a team you don't like. I understand not liking him for that aspect. But as far as later on, I don't dislike him as a person. In fact, this isn't even about Tim Tebow for me. I don't care. I just think it's a little silly that Urban Meyer's doing it. And like I said, if I'm a Jags fan, I would say you could pick Jesse James. You could pick any tight end. I'd say there are better options out there, but you did because you have a connection. I wish you wouldn't have done it because you're not going to help the team. But the anger, I don't get that part of it. I'm not angry about it.
I don't get any of it. Who cares?
People
do. Tim Tebow's a sideshow. And you know what? The media will be. And you know, I think it does take some pressure off Trevor Lawrence if you want to know the truth. Now, Trevor Lawrence, when the games start, and it's going to be all on Trevor Lawrence and everything else. But in the preseason, the media is going to be like, oh, there's Tebow. Let's get Tebow.
Unless they start asking Trevor Lawrence about Tim Tebow in practice.
Right.
And that's all they're asking him. He's probably going to get annoyed.
Well,
like,
that's not all they're going to ask. That's not all they're going to ask. Yeah. They're going to, but there will be, well, Tim Tebow press conference after. It is just amazing to me, this Tebow hatred and mania. It's just amazing. 857 ESPN 97.5. We may lose and we may win, but we will never be here again. So open up, I'm climbing in. So take it easy.
ESPN 97.5. Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save